الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. يسر إخوانكم في موقع دار الحديث بالشحر أن يقدموا لكم هذه المادة لفضيلة الشيخ أبي عبد الرحمن عبد الله بن عمر بن مرعي بن بريك حفظه الله تعالى. والآن مع المادة.
Abdullah ibn Umar al-Adami, hafizahullah ta'ala, started by saying Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Then he mentioned Khutbat al-Haja, which is inshallah ta'ala known by the listeners. Then he said, as to complete what has preceded from the tafsir of Surah al-Ikhlas, we shall continue in this lesson. And the last ayah, we have to take the last ayah of this surah, Surah al-Ikhlas. But before we start this lesson, Shaykh is saying that he wants to remind his own self and all of us about making dua for our brother who has been the one taking the asbab, making the causes for this khair that we are in right now, of this lesson that we are going through and learning the aqidah, which is our brother Abu Bakr rahimahullah ta'ala. May Allah have mercy upon him. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ سَنَّ سُنَّةً حَسَنَةً. We can translate this hadith by saying, whoever introduces a good way amongst the people, then he will get the rewards of it, and the reward of whoever is working upon it, and this will not decrease, this will not decrease the reward of anybody, meaning everybody will have his reward without taking the reward of anybody else. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said also, whoever calls to some guidance, then he will get the reward of everybody who has followed this guidance. So Shaykh is saying, I ask Allah the Great to forgive to our brother Abu Bakr, and to have mercy upon him. And verily, he is Al-Ghafoor Al-Rahim, the merciful, the one who is forgiving. Tafaddal ya Shaykhana.
وَلَا أَنْتَ أَنْ مُنَبِّهِ حَبِبَكُمُ اللَّهِ السماوات والسبع سماوات كل من الذات وأسرف على نفسه بأنواع الذنوب والمعاصي والسيئات فيا ويل من كان هذا حاله ويا خسارة من كان هذا حاله وأما من وفقه الله فاستعان بما أنعم الله عز وجل عليه وسخره ويسره بما لا يرضي الله بل بما يرضي الله سبحانه وتعالى فهنيئا هنيئا هنيئا له. وهكذا كذلك إذا نفع الغرور لا يرضان الإنسان يحببه الشيطان بأمام كاذبه ومواعيد خاطئة وربما أدركته المنية أو الموت وهو على ذاك التسويف. هذا يسوف في تربة قريبة وهذا يسوف في اجتهاد وطلب علم وذاك يسوف في استعادة نشاط وغير ذلك من أنواع التسويفات وأمام الشيطان التي يجعلها في قلب الإنسان كذبا وزورا. فينبغي أن نعتبر بقصر هذه الدنيا وأن نستغل أعمارنا فيما يكون فيه الخير لنا في الدنيا وفي الآخرة. والله عز وجل يقول في كتابه الكريم الأضحك إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. والله المستعان.
Then Sheikh Abdullah Hafizahullah Ta'ala went on saying, and I draw your attention, may Allah preserve you, all listeners from the brothers and sisters and whoever this might reach. I want to mention to you the fact that our lifetime is extremely short and that the dunya, the world of the dunya is a place where you just pass by. It's not a place where you are staying. And that these things that happen to our beloved ones every once in a while, death and other than that, they are for us, they should be for us a remembering. This is a way how Allah remembers us about the reality of this dunya that we live in. And Allah says in the Quran, every soul will taste death. And verily, you will only receive your rewards on the day of judgment, on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So whoever will be taken away or put away from the fire and made enter into Jannah, then verily he's the successful one. And verily the life of this dunya is just mata'ul ghurur. It's just the pleasures of non-lasting things, of foolishness. So Shaykh is commenting by saying whoever takes from this dunya whatever Allah has given him and uses in a way of khair, then he shall be with the successful ones. And whoever in this dunya just follows his desires and just spends his entire life running after non-lasting pleasures, then he will be amongst the losers in the Akhirah. And the shaitan never stops to come to the human being and let him understand or let him or give him hopes for false things, which make the human being always be into what we call in Arabic taswif, meaning that you put everything in the future form, or I will make tawbah, I will make efforts, I will fast, I will do more worship, I will. And so in the end, this person, death comes to him and he's in this state where he keeps on saying I will do, and in the end he hasn't done much. So we should beware of the shortness of our life in this dunya and have be clear and understand what we are here for. And Allah says in the Quran, wal asr, Allah swears by time, verily the human being is in a state of loss, except for the ones who believe and do righteous deeds and enjoin each other with the truth and enjoin each other with patience. تفضل يا شيخنا.
وقفنا بآخر درسنا عند قول الله عز وجل ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. وهذه الآية ختمت بها هذه السورة وهو من باب عطف العام بعد الخاص تأكيدا على معنى العموم. فإن الله عز وجل واحد سبحانه وتعالى في ذاته كما مر معنا وفي أسمائه وصفاته جل وعلا في ربوبيته وألوهيته وأسمائه وصفاته جل وعلا. ومن ذلك أنه سبحانه ليس له كفؤ أن يكافئك ويقاربه ويساويك. فينبغي أن يعلم أن الله عز وجل شأنه عظيم، ليس أمره كأمره المخلوقين. فإن أمر المخلوق أن يقاس بغيره ويقاس غيره به. وهذا يوضح خطأ الكثيرين، كيف أخطأوا في عقائدهم وآخر كذلك في عباداتهم ومعاملاتهم بسبب عدم إحسانهم في تفسير هذا المعنى الذي ينبغي أن يعلم عن الله. نعم، الذين قلنا الخطأ الذي وقع بهم كثير من الناس قديما وحديثا في عقائدهم وفي عباداتهم وفي معاملاتهم بسبب عدم الفهم الصحيح لهذا المعنى العظيم للإله الذي هو إله حق وهو الله سبحانه وتعالى. فلذلك اقسم لله عز وجل الأمثال، والله عز وجل لا تضرب له الأمثال، أي أمثال تنافي عظمته سبحانه وربوبيته وألوهيته ووحدانيته. كما قال الله عز وجل فلا تجعلوا لله أندادا. فهو سبحانه وتعالى لم يكن له كفوا أحد. وقوله جل وعلا لم يكن له كفوا بصيغة الماضي فيه تأكيد هذا المعنى لجميع الأزمان. فما نفي في الماضي فهو من باب أولى أن ينفى في الحاضر وفي المستقبل. فهو سبحانه وتعالى ليس له كفؤ، ولم يكن له كفؤ، ولم يكون له كفؤ جل وعلا، لأنه وحده الإله الحق. المخلوقين، لأنهم إله الحق وحده،
يا شيخ؟
وهذا الاختيار في المسألة الثالثة مما يستفاد أو مما ينبه عليه في هذا المقام في قوله جل وعلا: ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. أنه ينبغي أن يعتنى بباب العقائد اعتناء عظيما ويدقق في ألفاظها، فهو سبحانه وتعالى ليس له كفر. وقوله أحد هذا من معاني العموم، وهذا النفي وبهذه الصورة يقتضي تأكيد معنى العموم. ولو تأملنا الأدلة الشرعية ووحدانية الرب سبحانه في ذاته وفي ربوبيته وفي ألوهيته وفي أسمائه وصفاته، ثم نظرت إلى واقع الناس بل واقع الأمم وما وقعت فيه قديما وحديثا مما ينافي هذا المعنى العظيم، علمت أنهم لم يفهموا ولم يدققوا في معنى التعميم الذي جاءت به الآيات الكثيرة ومنها هذه الآية. ولذلك نجد طوائف من المسلمين وللأسف يقرؤون هذه السورة ولكن لا يذكرون تفسيرها، فربما لا يقع في الشرك الأكبر والعياذ بالله، ويجعل لله شريك، يجعل لله عز وجل شريك في ذاته وفي ربوبيته وفي ألوهيته في أسماء وصفاته والعياذ بالله، كبعض تلك الطرق المتصوفة التي تقول بمذهب الحلول والاتحاد، ولا أسماء مختلفة في بلاد العالم، وهذه الأسماء وإن تغيرت وما عليه من فكر وعقيدة أو مظاهر ودين ونحو ذلك يختلف من مكان إلى آخر، إلا أنهم في النهاية هم على غير العقيدة الصحيحة السوية في توحيد الله عز وجل. ومثلهم طوائف ممن تنتسب إلى الشيعة، وهكذا طوائف أخرى من طوائف الباطنية. وشيء آخر من الشرك ممن يرى عند بعض من ربما عرض التوحيد وعرض أخطاء هذه الطوائف، لكنه ربما يقع عنده شيء آخر مما هو أخفى من ذاك الشرك الواضح. فينبغي أن يكون المؤمن موحدا بقلبه وموحدا بلسانه وموحدا بجوارحه. ولذلك ذكر شيخ الاسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب النجدي رحمه الله تعالى في كتابه كتاب التوحيد: من مسائل التوحيد ما ذكر عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه وارضاه انه مما ينال التوحيد ان يقول رجل: لولا البط لجاء النصوص، او نحو ذلك من العبارات. يعني ينبغي سبحانه وتعالى ناظر إلى هذا المعنى لأن الله عز وجل العظيم الذي له القوة سبحانه وتعالى وهو على كل شيء قدير هو قادر أن يوجد الأشياء بدون أسبابها كما أنه الحكيم يمنع الأشياء
The connection got interrupted. We are calling Sheikh. نعم شيخ عفوا.
لا يتعلق بالسبب بل يتعلق بمسبب الأسباب وهو الله سبحانه وتعالى
ممكن أن تعد صوت ما كان واضحا؟
نعم. قلنا أن هذه الأحداث تؤكد هذا المعنى، وأن المؤمن ينبغي أن يتعلق بالله عز وجل وحده،
Rahim. So Sheikh started going into the tafsir of this last ayah from Surah Al-Ikhlas. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. Sheikh is saying, حَفِظَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. By this verse, this surah was ended. And this is from what we call in Arabic, عَطْفُ الْعَامْ عَلَى الْخَاسِ. Meaning that you follow up something general upon something precise, meaning what was before this ayah was specific branches of Tawheed, and this last ayah is a more general meaning encompassing all those meanings of Tawheed that have been mentioned before. And this is this usloob, this way of talking in Arabic, meaning عَطْفُ الْعَامْ عَلَى الْخَاسِ, by making the general meaning follow after the precise meanings or the branches of this meaning. This is a way of emphasis. So here this is emphasizing the generality of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it be the oneness in His essence or in His names and attributes or His lordship, His rububiyyah or His uluhiyyah, His right to be singled out with worship. We understand from this what has been what Allah has mentioned in the other ayah, in another ayah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ. No, this نعم. Shaykh is saying Allah has no kufu. Al kufu يعني لَيْسَ لَهُ كُفُوًا. Allah has nobody nobody who is doing to Him what He is doing to others. نعم. And Allah has nobody which is equal to Him in any way. So this is indicating the greatness of the matter of Allah. And this ayah is making the difference between Allah and the creation. And this shows us how it is incorrect to compare and make an analogic reasoning from the creation to the creator or from the creator to the creation, because they are not comparable. You cannot make any analogies between them two. And this clarifies for us the mistake that many people have fallen into in their aqidah, in their beliefs. And this is because they have no real understanding of these meanings of this surah. Because many from the Muslims, they might read this surah, but at the same time, they do what we call in Arabic, ضرب الأمثال لله, meaning they give examples or make similarities or comparison with Allah. And this surah shows us the why this is wrong, why you cannot compare Allah to anything. Because comparing Allah to His creation is negating or nullifying the greatness of the rububiyyah of Allah and the oneness of Allah. Like Allah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. So do not give to Allah equals. And this is also the meaning of this ayah, وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفْوًا أَحَدٍ. So Shaykh starts getting into the meaning of لَمْ يَكُنْ. لَمْ يَكُنْ here in Arabic is in the past, because of the harf lam. It's from the meaning the past. So if Allah has no kufu in the past, with all that happened in the past from creation and so on and so forth, meaning had nobody like Him doing what He's doing, or doing to Him what He's doing to others, then we understand that if it wasn't in the past, then it's certainly not today, in the present. From the benefits of this last ayah, after this whole surah, we take three benefits. First of all, an emphasis on what we have mentioned before. That first of all, Allah has not the meanings and attributes and characteristics that are attributed to the creation, because He is the one God. And we understand from this that it is wrong to make analogies between the creation and Allah. Like Allah said, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There is nothing like Him, or nobody like Him, or nothing like Him, and He is the all-hearing, the all-seeing. السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. And everything that we have mentioned before enters into this meaning. Then, the second benefit is linked to the matters of aqidah. What Shaykh is meaning by that, very precise matters of usul in aqidah, meaning that all the meanings of kamal, meaning of perfection, and jalal, of greatness, are to be attributed and affirmed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by showing opposites, you understand things. بِدِّدْ تُعْرَفُ الْأَشْيَاءِ. Meaning, if any sort of naqs, any sort of fault or imperfection that might be found or might be understood by human intellect, then we have to exempt Allah from this. And at the same time, all the meanings of perfection have to be attributed to Allah alone, whether it be in the meanings of uluhiyya, or the meanings of rububiyya, or the meanings of al-asma wa sifat. Because all of this is for Allah alone. And as Shaykh is saying, if some of those meanings might be found in some way in the creation, then these meanings are to be found in the creation in a way of imperfection. Like for example, as we have known before, it is not permissible to attribute the meanings that Allah has attributed to Himself. We are not allowed to attribute them to the creation, except for what the Sharia has indicated that it was permissible. but in the way of naqs, in the way of imperfection. Like for example, the name Al-Aziz. Al-Aziz meaning the majestic one or the powerful one, and meanings going in that sense. You might find those meanings in some of the creation, but you will see that these meanings are not in the same way to be found in the creation like they are for Allah, because this meaning is in a way of perfection for Allah, and it's in a way of imperfection for the creation. And also the opposite. Whatever we see as meaning in the creation, as meaning of naqs, as imperfection, then it is not permissible for us to attribute it to Allah, like many sects have done. And all those issues, the ulama have mentioned them in the books of Aqidah, and they have many branches. And the third benefit that Sheikh Abdullah mentioned is the fact that this shows us the importance of paying great attention to Aqidah, because as we've seen, all this surah is dealing just with matters of Aqidah and Tawheed. So here we have seen that Allah has no kufu, first of all, yani has nobody like him. And the word here, laysa lahu kufuwan ahad, the fact that ahad was mentioned, this is another way of umum, of generality. It is a way of re-emphasizing one more time what we have mentioned so many times before, that the meanings of uluhiyya, of rububiyya, and asma wa sifat are to be affirmed for Allah alone. Naam. And if you were to look at the situation of the people in every time and generation, then you will see that most people have not at all understood these meanings. How many Muslims read this surah and have kept on reading this surah throughout the centuries without really understanding its meanings? And they have fallen into what is completely contradicting what has been explained early on concerning this surah. They have fallen into shirk, whether it be in the rububiyya, like many of the Sufi ways have done, the way they have affirmed al-ittihad, meaning that Allah is in absolutely everything. This is one of the greatest deviances of Sufiyya, is called Ittihad in Arabic. And also other groups like the Batiniyya from the Shia have also fallen into different types of shirk. And all of this is based upon the fact that, or due to the fact that, people have not understand these meanings that we have explained and have not meditated about the meanings of this surah. And also, there are people who might have understood many of the meanings of Tawheed, in the sense that they do not worship other than Allah, and they do not believe that anybody else has power in this universe to direct this universe, and so on and so forth. But they have fallen into much more precise and hidden issues that are encompassed in the meanings of Tawheed. And that's why Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab al-Najdi rahimahullah ta'ala, in his book Kitab al-Tawheed, has mentioned the words, or the words of Abdullah ibn Abbas, where he said that from shirk is that you say لَوْلَا الْبَطُّ فِي الدَّارِ لَا تَانَ الْلُصُوصِ, if it had not been for the duck in the house, then the thieves would have come to us, meaning that the duck, when the thieves entered the house, started making noise, so the people woke up and the thieves ran away. So he said, if it wasn't for the duck, then the thieves would have come to us. Or that you say, ما شاء الله وشئت, ما شاء الله, Allah wanted this, وشئت, and you wanted this. So all of those, yani those two sentences that we have mentioned, if it wasn't for the duck in the house, and Allah has wanted it and you have wanted it, both of them are from shirk lafzi, are from minor shirk. So here Shaykh wants us to make us understand that we have to be very careful in our way of expressing ourselves, because we might fall into expressions of shirk which negate those meanings that we have just studied in this surah. And also, as far as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is concerned, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, when people came to him and started praising him in some manner which he disliked, he started saying, "La tutruni," do not exaggerate with praising me, in the way that the Christian have exaggerated in the praising of Isa ibn Maryam. And also, people came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and started telling him, "You are the best of us, and you are our Sayyid, our master," and so on and so forth. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "You should say the way the people of your religion say." This is the tafsir of this hadith, although it's I don't see how I could translate this hadith into English, but the meaning of this hadith is, say the way the people of your religion say, meaning that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the messenger of Allah and the slave of Allah, not more than that. And do not let the shaytan make you go astray, meaning by exaggerating concerning the Prophet, which will make you fall in the end into shirk. And also, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw Mu'adh coming to him when he came from Sham, he saw that Mu'adh lowered his head in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the way that many people do in front of the kings and the rulers. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam asked him where he got this from. So he saw that people were doing this, and he said, "Then verily, if people do this to other people, you are more in right to have this done as a right for you than anybody else." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not agree with him and told him to leave this, because these are all ways and affairs that lead to shirk. And all of this is negating and contradicting what we have learned in this surah, meaning that glorification and greatness is for Allah alone. And what comes out from this, or from what is coming out from this, is the fact that the believer should only have his heart attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and he should not have his heart attached to the creation or to the asbab. His heart should not be attached to the causes, because Allah has ordered us to do the causes in the matters of our life, meaning the causes for cure, the causes for getting your provision, and so on and so forth. But our heart should be attached to Allah, because Allah is the one who is making those causes work out, or He's making those causes fail. And Allah also is able first of all, the believer who has completed his faith in Allah knows that Allah has the complete power and is capable over everything. So he understands that Allah is able to make things happen even if the causes have failed. So this, the believer who has this meanings, has understood those meanings, and has this understanding firmly embedded in his heart, has his heart completely attached to Allah, and he does not get attached to anybody else ever. So whatever his need might be concerning some asbab, concerning some causes, he tries to get them, but he does not attach himself to them. He does not care whether the causes end up to be successful or unsuccessful. And this is the reality of tawakkul. And from this is the fact that the believer has complete submission and rida, pleasure, yani he is pleased with whatever Allah has decreed for him, because he knows that Allah is al-alim al-hakim, he is the all-knowing, the all-wise. He knows better what is beneficial for the human being than the human being himself. So if the human being is displeased with whatever Allah has decreed for him, then this goes against the perfection of Tawheed. And this is from the precise issues of Tawheed. The believer who is attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has reached the end limits of the glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has at the same time reached the end limits of inner peace that a human being can reach. And you will see that this person is extremely brave, and he does not fear. Like Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam was thrown into the fire, but he wasn't scared because he was having tawakkul upon Allah, and Allah made the fire to be cold and safety for Ibrahim. And in the same way Musa, when he arrived in front of the sea and when Fir'aun and his army was right behind him, he wasn't scared. He had tawakkul upon Allah and he knew that Allah was going to make him away. And all of this is because they had certainty in their heart that Allah was capable over everything and wasn't going to let them down. So those events, what happened to Musa and to Ibrahim, this is emphasizing. This is a way of emphasis for the believer, emphasizing for him to have his heart attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the all-wise, who chooses for his believer, who only chooses the best for his believer. He might choose for his believer trials and a lack in asbab, meaning a lack in causes, meaning that you will not find the causes that you need absolutely. And he might put against him enemies and so on and so forth. But the believer knows that Allah has done this because of hikmah, because of wisdom. So he is receiving this ibtila, those trials, with rida, by being pleased with it, and taslim, by submitting to it. And he knows that Allah will save him and that he is able to do so. And this does not mean that we leave out the causes. No, we take the causes but we rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So meditate, O believer. What is the effect of what we have just mentioned in the daily life of the believer if he was to live like that? Then you will see that this person who lives like that will reach the end limit of peace, and he will be kept away from all the evils. And this will strengthen him in his istiqamah, in his straightness upon tawheed and aqeedah, and this will rectify his actions in the dunya and in the religion. And this is where Shaykh Abdullah hafizahullah ta'ala stopped. And we stop here inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. La ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.